Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steve, a self-proclaimed student in life, in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, police, and the black community. Have you ever wondered what black police officers had to say about their police experience, police abuse, and the black community? Are they exempt from that special attention? How do they feel about it? Why aren't they making some noise? I often wonder how black police officers dealt with the overt racism and aggression of their fellow police officers, especially when engaging the black community. We know some black officers have been overly aggressive toward people also, but how can you, black or white, watch another police officer violate a person and not intervene, speak out against the unwarranted aggression? The inhumane treatment, the assault, and the murder of individuals, especially those who look like you. Is it that dangerous of a task? I'm going to call this article called A Black Police Officer's Perspective from the Undefeated, right? I thought it was very interesting. He said, this is a quote, "Those guys are just scared. The adrenaline is flowing and you overreact. A lot of those guys are scared of black people and they always think the worst, that a black man is going to kill him or hurt him. It's unfortunate." Well, from provocative thought. As I've said before in previous, shows, presentations, get the cowards and those who have contempt for the people in the community they patrol off the police force. Expel those cowards and the racists out of the criminal and judicial system before this thing gets worse or out of hand. Yes, it can get worse. Continuing on with the article, he also goes on to say, and I'm quoting it, he says, "Because I was a police officer of almost 30 years, I get upset about police being killed, but I do get outraged when police officers don't do the right thing and are hasty in their decisions and kill somebody. Not being responsible. Sometimes I think it's murder, which police officers do." That's from a guy that worked 30 years on a police force. So he said, "Sometimes it's murder, which the police officers do." So that's something to think about. That's a 30-year observation. You can't get a closer observation than that of a police officer. This is a black police officer at that. So he goes on, he says, "For many years, police officers have been getting away with murder, unfortunately. I hate to say that, but because of the system, the U.S. attorneys will take the police officer's word as being valid and truthful. As years have gone by, in some cases, it hasn't always been true." All right? It's a 30-year vet. 30 years of this. I'm sure he's been to court, and I'm sure he's had conversations about other people's court cases and what's going on in the system. He said, "On black police officers in America, these situations on the street have put pressure on all police officers, not just black police officers. Of course, black police officers want to serve their community, their families, and their race. They want to do the right thing to try to help these young people understand that you need to cooperate and that the police officers are not your enemy. They're your friend. They're supposed to be peacemakers, not to hurt you. To quote, but believe me, I've been jacked up by the police, too. I've been on the other side, too." This is a 30-year vet. He's been jacked up by the police, too. How did that happen? So, back from provocative thought, I'm sure this black officer has witnessed some horrific behavior on behalf of the police department and the judicial system. The question is, what did he do about it? Blow the whistle like Cipico did. I don't know if you heard know about Cipico. That story about a narcotics cop in New York. And he blew the whistle on these corrupt police officers in New York. They set him up to get killed during one of these drug busts and things like that. Basically, he had to leave. He got shot in the face. So he didn't escape injury, but Cipico was a guy like, you know, he gave up the tapes on these corrupt police officers in New York. That didn't end police corruption, but it validated claims of police corruption in New York. But really, did we really need that movie or that incident to validate claims of corruption? Are we really that deaf of ear? Anyway, this guy goes on to say, because of the system, the U.S. attorneys will take the police officer's word as being valid and truthful? Come on. And from provocative thought, again, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But that is the result of institutionalized discrimination and racism. What is the use of having a judicial system that's not going to hear you, especially when a police officer is attempting to cover up his violation of you by criminalizing and dehumanizing you? This idea about you being criminal and dehumanized has to exist in the criminal just us system for it to even fly with anyone with half of a brain. Anyone who thinks that policemen do not lie or that the court should take their word over anyone is unfit for duty in the criminal justice system. They were liars before they joined the police force. They were racist before they joined the police force. Are you kidding me? This is that's a ridiculous stance to take, especially in court. He also said, young people, understand that you need to cooperate, and the police officers are not your enemy. They're your friends. They're supposed to be peacemakers, not to hurt you. Wow. The fact is, they are human first, policemen somewhere down the line of their attributes. Peacemakers don't shoot 12-year-old kids with toy guns, shoot fellow black off-duty officers assisting in making an arrest, shoot a guy four times for reaching for his ID in a car with his woman and stepdaughter, then arrest the woman, use illegal chokeholds on people who are non-threatening, shoot you in the back while you are running away, wrestle women to the ground and write them up some bullshit bogus charge, shoot you 16 times upon arriving at the scene late. That is not the behavior of a peacemaker. That is the behavior of someone you cannot trust. That is the behavior of an individual who does not value your life, who fears you, and who holds contempt for you. These police officers are a problem and a threat. Make no mistake about it. It was the law during chattel slavery that a slave submit to the abuse and terror of the slave master. Chattel slavery, that's slavery in America. Chattel, like they own you. Somebody own you like a piece of property, like a cow, like a horse, a dog or something, right? It said, a white man could move aggressively among a sea of slaves with impunity, without consequence, like he was God. And I'm not saying he always got away with that, because things did happen. But moving along, slaves were perceived as subhuman beneath white folks, just a little higher than a dog, a dangerous dog on the evolutionary chain. Just like the dog, they were held accountable for not humbling themselves. It's not that they couldn't respond aggressively. It's just that the consequences were severe. simply because it's the law doesn't make it right, all right, just, fair, ethical, or moral. The authoritarian racist mentality appeared to have survived and permeated through the police department, whose origins are rooted in the perpetuation of slavery. Do research that. I don't want to get into the origin of the police department, but it came out of that slave ideology, that's enslavement and capture the slave and ideology. Just do your own research on that. It seems like black people are still in slave mode when it comes to the police. The best advice, this ex-30-year veteran of the police force could offer is to submit to your abuser. Isn't that what happened to Sandra Bland, who was said to be found dead in her cell after being assaulted and falsely arrested after a traffic stop? All this dude had to do was write a ticket, and he turned it into something else. The police officer. Because Sandra Bland spoke out. Anyway, when is it acceptable to defend yourself or someone in the community against police aggression? When is it? When is it acceptable to defend yourself against someone violating your human and civil rights? The Black Panthers had enough of the police brutality perpetrated in the black community in the 60s and the 70s and decided to arm themselves with the law and weapons. They decided to police the police and police the community. That would not have been necessary if the police department were not racist. Hell, racism was expressed more openly in those days. Are we to think that they simply bred the hatred, contempt, and fear for the black community out of themselves? What about those unarmed white people they killed? Is it not acceptable to narrate? No, it is not acceptable to narrate the scenario to support or justify assaulting, violating, or murdering any man, black, white, brown, yellow, green. That is the definition of obstruction of justice, unequal treatment under the law. That's a serious problem, and we should have a serious problem with anybody that's creating scenarios to support a lie, something that's not true. No, we cannot take their word just because they are police officers, and we cannot blindly trust them. They have proven to be liars, and those who do not come forward with the truth are liars by omission. Yes, there are some police officers who are professionals, trustworthy, for the most part, but the absence of outspoken police officers or direct interventions regarding police misconduct is indicative of their fear, support, collaboration, and submission to the blue monster of injustice. They are guilty by omission and derelict of duty, thus unfit to serve and protect the community, because you cannot serve and protect the community if you are allowing another police officer to violate a person in the community, whether they live in the community or not. If you're not intervening, as Malcolm said, if you're not a part of the solution, you're part of the problem. If you allow that to go on, that's going to perpetuate it, because this guy's going to know you ain't going to do nothing about it. And he might even know that you better help out. I don't know how that thing goes. Anyway, and I'm sure there's somebody out there that did something, but we just don't. I don't know about them. But I'm hoping there's an officer, black or white, whatever color, doesn't matter, Latino, that said, "Hey, we rolling out today. I don't know what you about, but this is what I'm about. And it's somebody who's out there just to do the job, not out there to the smash heads or anything like that, don't have contempt for the population that they're serving, but will do their job as a police officer, only as a police officer. So hopefully that person exists. Anyway, they are guilty by omission and derelict of duty, thus unfit to serve and protect the community. Just like a parent who knows or allows the other parent or person to abuse, assault, or murder a child and says and does nothing, they are as guilty as the perpetrator. Right? And parents are supposed to protect the children. That's their job. Police are supposed to protect the people in the neighborhood and maintain order. Do something. Act now. Police abuse and aggression impacts on all of us. Black people are simply getting the lion's share of the abuse. They're targeted more. And, I mean, like, you don't have to be a professor to figure out why that's going on, because I think we've been having conversations about how that occurred, why that occurs, and things like that, you know, for years in the community. In short, just because you're black, they get away with it, nobody really cares about you and things like that. So you're kind of low man on the totem pole, so things can happen to you. And that's the way it is for people who are not held with high regard in any situation. You don't have high regard for a pair of shoes. You walk on the back of them, right? Pair of slacks, you're painting them. Because you don't have high regard for them. These are my work slacks. They become something that you devalue. So, anyone who is fearful of their job or the people they come in contact with on the job places themselves, others, and the occupation at risk. Contempt compounds the issue and increases the risk. Knock that blue wall of silence down. All it does is perpetuate the hostility, distrust, and animosity. Remember, you are supposed to be a police department, not an organized criminal organization. Act like it or get out of law enforcement. What happens when civilians start saying, I shot the officer because I feared for my life, yet there was nothing life-threatening? That fear of police abuse doesn't sound right, does it? Huh? It could happen. It has probably happened. What happens when a civilian shoots another civilian because he is fearful? No actual lethal threat, just fearful. That has most definitely happened. He's going to jail. Stop trying to excuse the dangerous, disrespectful, aggressive, racist behavior of rogue police officers. Minimizing it destroys the trust of the community. Nobody's going to trust a police department that's trying to minimize the aggression and the disrespect that you have for the persons in the community. It's not a rare occurrence. It occurs too often. Now, I hear a lot of people say it's rare. It's not rare. It occurs too often, and it continues. It's not like it's always happened. It's just now that everybody got these cell phones, and they ain't afraid to start videotaping at home. But we got here, it's Walter Scott being arrested. Ooh, there's Walter Scott being murdered. They're not afraid to videotape that stuff now. They're not that afraid of the police. Even though it's a dangerous situation. So any police officer who does not want to be videoed while performing duty are suspect. I would be very apprehensive about any police officer that minds being videotaped, especially when he's having an encounter with a civilian. That's like a bank robber stating he's against banks having a video monitor. The video doesn't lie. People do. dash cam, body camera, neighborhood security monitors, and cell phones hold police more accountable. It's good when they use it against civilians. If you rob a bank and they get you on videotape, they're going to use that videotape to say, that's you robbing that bank. You pull that gun out, you can't say, oh, that's not me, you don't understand the situation, you can't spin that. So, I strongly recommend that people continue to video police performing their duty. If they're not doing anything wrong, they have nothing to be concerned about. Like in the Walter Scott case. As you know, Walter Scott, North Carolina guy, I think he owed some money for child support, got stopped by this police officer. I guess this guy was walking down the street, seeing Walter Scott running, seeing the guy, cop running behind him. Went to check it out. So by the time he got there, Walter Scott was on the ground. He heard some electrical, like, sound. Apparently, the police officer had tased Walter Scott. And he said Walter Scott was hit by the police officer, whack, in the face. Walter Scott got up, started running. Well, police officer shot Walter Scott in the back multiple times. But he didn't know that this guy had pulled out his cell phone and was videotaping it. Check it out. It's on the internet. You want to take my word for it. So that type of thing. But I don't see how you could get away with shooting anybody in the back and say that they were a threat to you. That makes no sense to me right there. There's no shootout. There's no knife in your arm or nothing like that. And it's just a guy running away. Anyway, this from an off-duty black cop in New York. Well, I guess there's a bunch of them. They say off-duty black cops in New York feel threat from fellow police. I wonder why. Why would they? Police officers, why would they feel, you know, a threat? That doesn't make sense. Off-duty police officer has nothing to fear. He's one of them. Is that right? Wrong. New York, Rutgers, said that black NYPD officers say they have experienced the same racial profiling that cost Eric Garner his life. And look, some of this stuff occurred before Eric Garner. If they had done something, maybe Eric Garner would still be alive. Because this guy used an illegal choke. There's no chokehold you're supposed to use on a person anyway. So this guy used a chokehold on a guy who was non-threatening and said he couldn't breathe. And it's about four, five police there. I mean, for what? For selling a cigarette? That's a conversation. Get out of here. That's not even a put your hands on somebody situation. So what if he's a little hot? Do we have a law against people getting excited or angry? Anyway, Gardner, a 43-year-old black man suspected of illegally peddling loose cigarettes, oh, he's a serious criminal, died in June after a white officer put him in a chokehold. It's an illegal hold, and they had already told these guys not to do it. He's already been warned by the police department, do not use chokeholds. He's already been told that. His death and that of an unarmed black teenager in Ferguson, Missouri, which sparked a slew of nationwide protests against police tactics. On Saturday, those tensions escalated after a black gunman who wrote of avenging the black death of social media shot dead two New York policemen. That's sad. The protests and the ambush of the ununiformed officer posed a major challenge for New York Mayor for the mayor of New York. The mayor must try to ease damaged relations with a police force that feels he hasn't fully supported them, while at the same time bridging a chasm with communities who say police unfairly target them. Now, Come on, they've been sociologists, criminologists have been saying this for years, right? And we got some police officers saying, hey, something going on here, right? It's not a secret that they target all black people. Anyway, what's emerging now is that within the thin blue line of the New York Police Department, there is another divide. I guess you can figure it out from what I'm talking about. Between black and white officers. They said Rutgers interviewed 25 African-American male officers on the New York PD, New York Police Department, 15 of whom are retired and 10 of whom are still serving. But all but one said that when off duty and out of uniform, they had been victims of racial profiling, which refers to using race or ethnicity as grounds for suspecting someone of having committed a crime. Basically, in short, there's a black guy, he must have committed a crime. Get him. He's a criminal. He's black, he's a criminal. Get him. Basically, that's it. There's a Latino, yeah, he's a criminal. Get him. All right? The officer said, this included being pulled over for no reason. Black guy driving a nice car. Pull him over. He's a drug dealer. He doing something wrong to even get that car. What is he doing with that car? Anyway, I'm just ad-libbing right there. But having their head slammed against their cars, getting guns brandished in their faces, being thrown into prison vans, and experiencing stop and frisk while shopping. Experiencing stop and frisk while shopping. I mean, he got money to get stop and frisk. The majority of the officers said they had been pulled over multiple times while driving. Think it's a rare occasion, occurrence? Still think that it's something that happens rare. Five had guns pulled on them. Five police officers had guns pulled on them. So these guys being police officers, I'm going to take a step forward and assume that the situation was uncalled for just based on them being police officers and knowing what a police officer is supposed to do. Apparently, these guys didn't, their membership card is, must have not covered that. Desmond Blaze, who retired 2 years ago as a sergeant in the 41st precinct in the Bronx, said he once got stopped while taking a jog through Brooklyn's upmarket Prospect Park. I had my ID on me so it didn't escalate, said Blaze. He sued the department, alleging he was racially harassed on the job. But what's suspicious about the jogger in jogging clothes, they said. So, well, what's suspicious? I'll tell you what's suspicious. Is it a black man in a jogging clothes, jogging through a white community, jogging through the black community? Is he running? That's suspicious. He had to commit a crime. He must be running from the law, from a crime scene. That's a shame that we have people like that, even on the police force, that mentality exists. That's scary, and it tells you that you're not safe if you're on the dark side. So the NYPD and the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association, the Police Officers Union, declined requests for comment. Of course they would. However, defenders of the New York Police Department credited its policing methods with transforming New York from the former murder capital of the world into the safest big city in the United States. At what expense of your civil rights, your human rights? Come on now. Man jogging down the street, on his own business. Anyway, ex-police chief, skeptical. It makes good headlines to say this is the current, but I don't think you can validate it until you look into the circumstances they were stopped in, said Menara Parks, the former chief of the Los Angeles Police Department, who is an African-American. Who is an African-American? He says, But I don't think you can validate it until you look into the circumstances that they were stopped in. My God. And that's when Rodney King beat the hell out of him in Los Angeles somewhere. Anyway, this guy got to be crazy. This is an African-American, too. Now, if you want to get into the essence of why certain groups are stopped more than others, then you only need to go to the crime reports and see which ethnic groups are listed more as suspect. That's the crime data the officers are living with, sis. All right. So he's saying black folks are making the crime sheets, and all they're looking at is sheets where crimes have been committed by people of color. Retired NYPD Detective Harold Thomas poses with his retired NYPD identification card in West Hampstead in New York, December 17, 2014. Rutgers interviewed 25 African American male officers of the NYPD, 15 whom are retired, and 10 of them who are still serving. He said all but one of them said that when off duty and out of uniform, they had been victims of racial profiling, which refers to using race and ethnicity, right, as grounds for suspecting someone of having committed a crime. So I mean, white boys, y'all want to do some crimes, get your black guys to come in the area where you at, draw the police away, and go do your thing. And I'm sure if I just said that, somebody already thought about that. Anyway. Blacks made up 73% of the shooting perpetrators in New York in 2011 and were 23% of the population. A number of academics believe those statistics have potentially skewed, not right, because police overfocus on black communities while ignoring crime in other areas. They also note that being stopped as a suspect does not automatically equate to criminality. Well, suspect in a crime is related to criminality. To me, I don't know if you're being a suspect or what. What is suspecting you of? You know what I'm saying? Why are you stopping? Nearly 90% of blacks stopped by the NYPD, for example, are found not to be engaged in any crime. Oh, duh. The black officers intervened said they had been racially profiled by white officers exclusively, and about one-third said they made some form of a complaint to a supervisor. One-third made a complaint to a supervisor. Oh, that's a little bit of noise. But all but one said their supervisors either dismissed the complaint or retaliated against them by denying them overtime, choice assignment, or promotion. Okay? Houston, we have a problem. These are police. They said all but one said their supervisors either that reported this racial profiling, right, by white officers towards them out of uniform. They reported to the supervisors who either dismissed the complaint or retaliated against them by denying them overtime, choice assignment, or promotion. Okay. The remaining officers who made no complaint said they refrained from doing so either because they feared retribution or because they saw racial profiling as a part of the system. So some people just went along with it. Hey, we racial profiled the other black guy. That's arrested. Let's go check his pot. He's got to be doing something wrong. Don't let that suit and that Bible fool you. Don't let that book bag fool you. Anyway, this is sickening. You know that we have to put up with this kind of stuff continuously, and people wonder, really, Do you really have to wonder why people are agitated when they stop by the police and all they're doing is driving down the street, they're not speeding, they haven't done anything wrong, they're just being stopped? It's a problem. It sounds like it's a problem even for black police officers. They're not getting no rhythm from the police department, and they fear retribution. Ain't that something? What's that about? Is that that Sipico thing going down? The Sipico was a white boy, and they set him up to get killed during a drug bust or something like that. They didn't give him support. You know, he got shot in the face. You know, I think he had to move. Well, he definitely moved. He got up. You know, he had to go. They're gonna set him up to get killed. The police department, those nice guys that you can trust. You know, and I'm not saying any police officer is like that, but I'm going to tell you something about being a police officer. These guys come around, take people off the street, and you know, yo, that's serious. When I don't care police or no police, that's serious when somebody had the power to come take you off the street. And yes, one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch when it comes to that system. Yes. Because that could be a life and death situation. That could be a situation that incapacitates you mentally or physically or both. Come on. If anybody should be held to the letter of the law, it's a police officer. And I believe if you held them to the letter of the law, you would weed out a lot of these guys off the police force or guys that own the police force that felt that way to keep that somewhere else. They hide it so much that they wouldn't be acting it out on the population. I don't know. But you need to get them off the police force. This is a problem because they even have apparently black police officers going along with it because they're scared. In declining to comment to Rutgers, the New York Police Department did not respond to a specific request for data showing the racial breakdown of officers who made complaints and how such cases were handled. I don't see why they didn't present that, since that's the police department. We paying for their salary. It's not like a private organization. But officers were not the only ones accused of wrongdoing. Civilian complaints against police officers are in direct proportion to their demographic makeup on the force, according to the NYPD Civilian Complaint Review. Oh, they do that. Indeed, some of the Rutgers interview acknowledged that they themselves had been defendants in lawsuits. That's a black cop. With allegations ranging from making a false arrest to use of excessive force, such claims against police are not uncommon in New York, says veterans. That's because it's not uncommon for police to make false arrests and use excessive force. That's why the claims are uncommon. Study finds inherent bias. Still, social psychologists from Stanford and Yale University and John Jay College of Criminal Justice have conducted research, including the 2004 study Seeking Black Race Crime and Visual Processing, showing there is an implicit racial bias in the American psyche that correlates black maleness with crime. They say the American psyche. Now, I'm talking about the police department. They said the American psyche that correlates black maleness with crime. So what are those white dudes doing in jail? Anyway, John Jay Professor Delores Jones Brown cited a 2010 New York State Task Force report on police shooting, the first such inquiry of its kind, that found that in the previous 15 years, officers of color had suffered the highest fatalities and encounters with police officers who mistook them for criminals. The American psyche that correlates black maleness with crime. The American psyche that correlates black maleness with crime, officers of color had suffered the highest fatalities and encounters with police officers who mistook them for criminals. Okay, that's right along with that, right? There's evidence that that aggressive policing in the New York Police Department is intensifying, they say, according to data from the New York City Comptroller. Police misconduct claims, including lawsuits against police for using the kind of excessive force that killed Gardner. Eric Gardner, again, that's that big black guy. He was hot, arguing with the police, having some words with the police, and they decided, oh, we need to take this big, you know, damn. Boy put a chokehold on him, kept a chokehold on him, even though the brother said a couple times, I can't breathe. Anyway, they said that lawsuits have risen 214% since 2000, while the amount of the city paid out has risen 75% in the same period. It's like, yo, what is it? What's happening here? To $64.4 million in the fiscal year 2012, the last year for which the data was available. So what are they saying? We're going to do this thing to you, and we'll just pay for it. Yeah, that's not an intervention. Winning a lawsuit is not an intervention. You got somebody dead. You got somebody that's incapacitated. You know, you have somebody that's mentally incapacitated. No, winning a lawsuit, it's not an intervention. Intervention is something that either is immediate while it's occurring or something that prevents it from occurring. That's the type of intervention we need. This right here, okay, you got some money. You lost something or somebody, right, on the street because of a police misconduct. But this is unacceptable. $64.4 million, we could take that money and do something else with it instead of paying these guys. That's like you shoot somebody on the street and then you pay them not to come to court. Well, they come to court, they're just getting paid, because I don't think nobody's going to jail behind these city paying out this money. What's probably happening is these guys are still on the force. And paying it, paying the $64.4 million, or a lot of them probably don't for it. Reporting abuse. People who have taken part in marches against Gardner's death and that of Ferguson teenager Michael Brown. Now, I heard something about that story, two conflicting stories about what actually took place. And all this over some, this is some, another cigarette incident, actually. And how does a cigarette incident evolve into a homicide? That's a problem also. They say they are protesting against the indignity of being stopped by police for little or no reason as much as for the death themselves. They're saying that it's an indignity. That's as important as being murdered. To quote, they said, there's no real outlet to report the abuse, said Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, a former NYPD captain, who said he was stigmatized and retaliated against throughout his 22-year career for speaking out against racial profiling and police brutality. There goes some noise, y'all. He paid the price for it, though. 22 years, he said. Man, that's amazing. The Civil Code, he didn't get to last anywhere near that long. And the guys he was playing ball with were ready to have him murdered. So I don't know how he survived that. He must be a pretty smart guy. Officers made complaints to youth on the NYPD's investigative arm, the Internal Affairs Bureau, only to later have their identities leaked, said Adam. Ooh. That's unsafe. So that's gonna, what that does is, I'm having a problem, I'm witnessing something that should be. What's going to happen is, if I tell it, they're going to tell these guys are going to retaliate some kind of way. Might try to reciprocal me, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Might try to shoot me themselves and call it friendly fire. because I stood up. And I want to say I appreciate you brothers for standing up. What's his brother's name? Eric Adam. Appreciate that, man, standing up. Make some noise. Make some kind of noise. On the, one of the other better-known cases of alleged racial profiling of a black policeman concerns Harold Thomas, a decorated detective who retired after 30 years of service. Including in New York's elite joint terrorism task force. I guess he was a part of that, I guess. Shortly before 1 a.m. one night in August 2012, Thomas was leaving a birthday party at a trendy New York light nightclub, wearing flashing jewelry, green sweatpants, and a white T-shirt. Thomas walked toward his brand new white Escalade when two white police officers approached him. Bam! Yeah, he was in trouble. I can see that. I see why they got him. They automatically, that's drug dealing. Because drug dealers, they're the only ones that wear flashy jewelry, green and sweatpants, and a white T-shirt. That's the drug dealer uniform, ain't it? Or them, not the NBA players. Drug dealers. Anyway. You can imagine what happened to him. What happened next is in dispute. Of course it's in dispute. But an altercation ensued, culminating in Thomas getting his head smashed against the hood of his car and then spun to the ground and put in handcuffs. Gotcha. If I was white, he said, it wouldn't happen. He filed a lawsuit against the city over the incident in New York City. Corporation counsel said it could not comment on pending litigation. So, from provocative thought. So, the courts always take the word of the police officer? What about the word of a black police officer over a white police officer? How good is that black man's word over those white police officers? We'll see. At an L house in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, a group of black police officers from across the city gathered for beer and chicken wings. Oops. Why couldn't they be eating steak or some fish? Anyway, they discussed how the officers involved in the Gardner incident could have tried harder to talk down and upset Gardner or sprayed mace in his face or forced him to the ground without using a chokehold. They all agreed his death was avoidable. I think anybody watching that video with a half a brain felt there was not even any need to even touch Eric Gardner. And definitely he should not be dead. This from the New York Times by Christine Hauser. This is in 2017. A white police officer shot and wounded an off-duty black officer who had been trying to help with an arrest in St. Louis last week. A friendly fire shooting that, again, drew national attention to the role race plays in decisions by law enforcement officials to open fire. Pay close attention. Friendly fire is when police are engaging in a shootout with somebody. They're shooting, police shoot, everybody shoot. And say, I'm a cop, and I should hit Joe over there. Man, I said, Joe got shot. That's my bullet. You know, that's friendly fire. But if they're not shooting, no one's shooting, right? There can be no friendly fire incident because there's not a fire fight. Now, just bear with me because that's very important for you to understand. There's no firefight. There can be no friendly fire. because no one's firing. Okay? Because if any fire is just an accidental, I shot you by accident in the fire, you know, while I was having a firefight with these guys. That's friendly fire. Or a bullet hits you by accident. So it's not me aiming a gun at you and shooting. Well, anyway, the shooting took place around 10 p.m. when officers tried to stop a car that had been reported stolen. Lawrence O'Toole, the interim police chief of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department, said in a statement, three people in the car opened fire at police officers, then fled on foot when the vehicle crashed. After an exchange of gunfire with police, one of the suspects was shot in the ankle. The off-duty officer, a 38-year-old black man with 11 years of service, was inside his home nearby when he heard the commotion. Taking his police-issued weapon, he went outside to help. The statement said, when he approached the scene, two officers told him to get on the ground, but then recognized him and ordered him to walk toward them. He's a police officer like them. That's strange right there. But another officer who had just arrived, a 36-year-old white man with more than 8 years of service, did not recognize the black officer. That officer, fearing for his safety, there's that magical thing that they use to validate shooting or murdering somebody. Fearing for his safety. There's nobody pointing a gun at him, nobody doing anything. He's just arriving on the scene, and there are other officers there. How is he fearing for his safety? He's not. He's just allowed to say that. The policeman's statement said, fired a shot. He fired a shot because he feared for his safety, even though there's already police there on the scene. The black officer was hit in the arm. He was treated in the hospital and released, the police statement said. Neither officer's name was released. Is something wrong with this picture? Black cop off duty who claims he was beaten by brothers in blue awarded $5 million settlement from New York. That's kind of stuff that's going on. They say it's rare. It's not rare. It's not rare at all. And, you know, we had enough of this. Y'all beating up the black cops. Man, the black cops don't stand a chance. The black people in the black community don't stand a chance at all. They crack your head whenever they want to. Kill you. Say I was scared for my safety. This nigga is dangerous. Anyway, NYPD officer Larry Jackson, with wife, was beaten by fellow officers in August when they were called to a birthday party for his daughter at his Queens home. A black NYPD cop who said he was pummeled and choked by his brothers in blue will be compensated for his injury nearly 8 years later. It took 8 years to make a decision on this. Federal judge recommended settlement in August, 2 years after a federal jury awarded Jackson $15 million. Jackson, 48, claims he was beaten by a cop and falsely arrested on August 22, 2010, when doing a birthday party for his daughter at his Queens home. His wife called 911 and said an armed man crashed the party. When police arrived, Jackson said the officers pummeled him, even though he told them he was on the job. Jackson said the cop hit him with their collapsed baton and lifted him up with an ASP baton around his neck. That must be the big one, big fat joint like the Thompson, according to court reports. The officers kept telling Jackson to relax, and plaintiffs kept responding that he was relaxed, but he could not breathe. He was relaxed, he responded, but I can't breathe. Sounds Eric Gardner-ish. 4 years later, on July 17th, Eric Gardner died after Staten Island police Daniel Pantolino put him in a band chokehold. Gardner moaned, I can't Read. The family Gardner's family settled for $5.9 million. But you know what? Eric Gardner is worth more than $5.1 million. Jackson, an 18-year veteran, still works in the New York Police Department Transit Bureau. His team was honored last year for arresting a man with a gun. Okay. In response, the officer pepper-sprayed Jackson and held him until they found his NYPD ID in his pocket. He was never charged with a crime. He was suspended and lost 20 vacation days after the department trial because cops say he resisted arrest. None of these officers involved were charged criminally or disciplined by the department, but he won a lawsuit. That's like paying for these guys to beat the hell out of people. Jackson sued a dozen police officers for excessive force and false arrest. On February 3rd, 2016, a jury decided in Jackson's favor and awarded him $12.5 million in compensatory damages. They had to compensate for the damages they caused. And $2.6 million in punitive damage just because you did it to him. The cop who had to pay $50,000 to $300,000 in damages out of their own pockets demanded the judge lower the damage amount, claiming that the jury's decision exceeded what would normally be granted. That's amazing. They should have done the right thing. That they came and approached these people like they were people, not like they were criminals or something that they didn't care about, that they had contempt for, that they dehumanized. They wouldn't have been in that situation. Why would you let your contempt and your racism cause you to get in this situation? I said, well, one reason is because you've been getting away with it for so long that you never probably perceived yourself getting to this point. And that's what I'm talking about, perpetuating it by attempting to minimize it instead of just getting these guys off the police force. Get them off the force. You don't need them. Just keep getting more recruits until you find somebody that has half of a brain. And that should be one of the requirements. You need at least half of a brain to be on the police force because these guys don't have even that. Okay, I'm going to skip forward because it's like, I know some people try to say it's rare, but it's not rare. It happens too often. It's too frequently. And it's even costing us money for you people who don't care about nothing but money. It's costing us money. You could divert that money to do something else. Make yourself a hero or something because you diverted, save the community, you clean the police force up, and you got money you could do something else with for you politicians, you greasy guys out there trying to impress somebody. Anyway, this thing, the beat goes on. From the New York Times, our deal has signed, 2019. Massachusetts grand jury has indicted 12 current and 2 former officers of the Springfield Police Department who are accused of beating a group of 4 black men after a barroom dispute or participating in a cover-up of the assault. So what happened was you had some of the cops actually in the assault, then you had some other ones going to help cover it up. Why would somebody have a premise that they're going to take the word of a police officer? You have to listen to everybody to get the truth. Get the videotape. You should want the videotape. You should want video at all times. Because you got to get these monsters off the force. They got to go. Okay, so now The announcement by the State Attorney General Office and the FBI on Wednesday, they said, is the latest blow to the police force in Springfield. The latest blow, that means they had some other stuff going on. That's the latest thing. The state's third largest city. Last fall, two other police officers in the city were indicted on charges of using unreasonable force while arresting two Hispanic boys. See, they ain't light-skinned, but they ain't light enough. They have pleaded not guilty. Additionally, the Justice Department is investigating whether the Springfield Narcotics Unit routinely used excessive force and violated residents' civil rights. Wednesday's indictment stemmed from an April 2005 confrontation that began inside Nathan Bill's Bar and Restaurant when one of the black men whistled at a bartender to get her attention. One off-duty officer thought the man was whistling at his girlfriend. An officer who was also off-duty at the time, according to the federal civil rights lawsuit brought by the four black men. We're going to hold it right there. That sounds like shades of Emmett Till. So I think he was like 13-year-old boy from Chicago, was down with Mississippi somewhere. He was kidnapped, tortured, and murdered after being accused of whistling at a white woman. Later on, the white lady, she went and got a husband, he got his brother-in-law, something like that. They went into this young man's grandparents' house, got him out, and did some stuff to him that they can't even reenact in the movies. And his mom had an open casket, and you would not believe the way his brother looked after he died, finished with him. Anyway, that's a show all by itself, Emmett Till. But this 2016, I think Emmett Till happened in 56, something, I'm not sure, but moving right along. They said, to clarify the misunderstanding, the lawsuit said one of the men offered to buy the male officer a drink, but was rebuffed. The four African-American patrons said they were later attacked by the group of white men down the street from the bar. They were beaten and kicked and sustained significant injuries as a result of the assault by six off-duty officers and one of the bar co-owners. That's what the attorney general's office said. Six off-duty, you would think that would be the safest place for you to have a drink at. There's six off-duty police officers in there. No. Know why? Because you're a little too dark. You got a little too much shade over you. Sean Allen, a lawyer for one of the six officers charged with assault, said Thursday that his client would be vindicated. In my 20 years of representing criminal defendants in the federal and state court, I have never seen a case where an attorney general office has gotten the facts so wrong, he said. After the local district attorney and the Massachusetts United States attorney declined all prosecutions in this case, Attorney General Maura Healey interjected her office into the barroom brawl for which my client sustained serious bodily injuries and is the victim. Nine officers, as well as two co-owners of the bar, are accused of taking part in a cover-up of the assault. Nine officers, as well as two co-owners of the bar, are accused of taking part in the cover-up of the assault. Now, these nine officers and the bar owners really wanted to help those guys. An intervention was necessary before they decided to leave the bar and attack these guys. That's the time to help these guys out. You're too late. You cared about them, you would have stopped them from jumping them. The attorney general said that one bar owner misled the FBI during the investigation, and that many of the officers filed false police reports while the investigation was ongoing. Many of the officers filed false police reports while the investigation was ongoing. Whose mouth is a prayer book? And come on, Alan, the court's going to take the word of a police officer as valid? That's crazy. They then lied in their testimony to the state grand jury, the attorney general said. Good work, attorney general. It's about time somebody stepped up to the plate. It must have been that blatant. In September, the city of Springfield agreed to pay $885,000 to settle the federal civil rights lawsuit brought by the four black men. The city of 155,000 people has about 480 police officers. The dozen officers indicted Wednesday will be suspended without pay. That's another good sign. Why are we paying guys to assault people in the community? Why do they get suspended with pay or death duty when you assaulted, you violated my civil rights? Someone is dead because you did something you should not have done. As the police officer of 30 years said, sometimes he feels that police officers get away with murder. Six officers and one of the co-owners are each charged with four counts of assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. Assault and battery causing seriously bodily injury. Three counts of assault and battery and conspiracy. The rest are charged in connection with the alleged cover-up. Come on. You just can't take a man's word just because he's a police officer. What is that? Who even conjured that up? That, you know, where did he get the idea that we should take the word of a man simply because he's a police officer? He's a what in the where did that come from? That's absurd. And if, I hope that's not written down anywhere. And if it's practiced, somebody needs to jump on that immediately. That's almost like you don't even need to go to court. All that police officer needs to do is go tell the people what happened, and the judge just sentenced you. From CNN. That the police departments in Philadelphia, St. Louis, are taking action following allegations that officers posted hateful or racist concerns on social media. In Philadelphia, 72 officers were taken off the streets and placed on administrative duty, and in St. Louis, 22 officers have been barred from bringing their cases to the circuit attorney's office. That's interesting. They're barred from bringing their cases to the circuit attorney's office. The social media posts were compiled by the Plainview Project, they say, which describes itself as a database of public Facebook posts and comments made by current and former police officers from several jurisdictions across the United States. So we got some watchers out there. The St. Louis Circuit Attorney, Kimberly M. Gardner, put the 22 officers on her office exclusion list this week, her office said in a news release. When a police officer's integrity is compromised in this manner, it compromises the entire criminal justice system and our overall ability to pursue justice, Gardner said in the release. After a careful examination of the underlying bias contained in those social media posts, we have concluded that the bias would likely influence an officer's ability to perform his or her duties in an unbiased manner. Okay? We have a caller. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thoughts.
What up, man?
Hello?
How you doing?
What's up, brother?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Not much, man. You handling a real good topic, and you're handling it well. The funny thing about these people is that, one, they're stupid enough to post things on Facebook because we're not just talking about, like, little light ideology or feelings about stuff. This is how these people feel, man. And I ain't talking about all of them. I'm talking about a good majority of them. And if you put that many in that place of power, they're going to do a lot of abuses. They're going to do a lot of damage. When you look at that Borge case in Chicago that they end up having to pay the families reparations for, where they were, you know, disappearing people to a ghost site.
Right.
Nobody ever fingerprinted, booked anything, torturing people and coercing confessions. Like, this is who we're dealing with. So I'm glad people are, you know, finally starting to realize what this is. And what it's always been, honestly, when we talk about the American police force. But, man, you handling it, man. I'm glad you're doing this show on this topic, and I just want to end on this quote, man, because this quote, I think, describes it perfectly. It's difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on him not understanding it. So when you talk about black police officers, there you go.
Oh, that's I like that. I like that. What's your name, brother?
This is Naj, man. We talked before, man. I called in before.
Hey, I appreciate you calling in, brother. I appreciate you calling in. That's very true. That's very sad, and it's very true.
It's, yes, sir.
Yeah, it's sad and true.
But you know what it is, man. Hey, keep laying out the information, man, so people will know, man. Good job.
I'm trying. I'm trying. Thank you.
What's up? Yep.
Well, that's short but to the point. So when we look at this thing here with the these police officers with half of a half a brain, that was just the ones who were stupid enough to get caught. It's not just a police thing. As some people try to say, it's a police thing. No, it's a racism thing too. You know, it's been documented for years. We've lived it, so we don't need a sociologist telling us that we're being targeted. We can see it. We experience it. The root, from KTRE9. That's a news affiliate. There's something right here. It says, Nacogdoches Police Department confirmed the use of force investigation and is underway involving an officer who arrested a woman during a dispute at an apartment complex. Now, they say it's a dispute at an apartment complex, but here's how the story goes. Sergeant Britt Ayers said the officer was off duty at the time. He served as courtesy security at the Overbrook at Nacogdoches Department complex where he lived. Harris said the officer was investigating a large group of people who gathered at the apartment. A large group of people. I guess you can figure out what that large group of people consists of. Well, that's 8 or 9 or 10 women. That's a very scary situation, ain't it? Yeah, 8 or 10 black women. Well, that's even scarier. Yeah, I'm shaking in my boots. There are 8, 9, 10 black women standing out in the parking lot. I'm scared to death. Anyway, investigating for what reason? Why is he investigating 8, 9, or 10 women, number one? Witness including one woman who was arrested said the officer was not in uniform and was wearing a T-shirt and shorts. The officer was belligerent. He was violent. He was disrespectful. He dehumanized my friend, said Kayla Jackson. Jackson was arrested and charged with criminal trespassing. She said she will claim her innocence, and she better. Taquana Brown described what she saw. He tackled her, he used unnecessary force, and then turned on another girl from the root. I can't say this girl's first name. Tajaniqua Brown. And DeDre Anna Williams, they told the affiliate that They and a group of about eight other women were simply hanging out Wednesday night in a parking lot at the Overbrook of Nacogdoches apartment complex when they say a man approached them. An altercation that followed and was captured on dash cam footage released by the police department, the off-duty officer appears to take down to the ground at least one woman. He appears to take somebody down to the ground, mind you. Come on, it's on videotape. He ran after her, and he, come on. Anyway, identified by the police as Lindsay Akbona, 19, of the Nacogdoches, Akbona was arrested, and she was arrested on resisting arrest charges. Now, arrested for resisting arrest, if you're listening, does that sound fictitious to you? I'm going to arrest you for resisting arrest. Usually arrest comes with a crime. If I have not committed a crime and I'm not suspected of committing a crime, why are you arresting me? Why are you seeking to arrest me? So I have every responsibility to myself to resist you arresting me for nothing. Why do I have to submit to someone attempting to arrest me for nothing? Somebody help me with that picture, because I might have been sleeping in class at the time that the teacher was teaching that, because I didn't get that lesson. Why do I have to submit to this? And I'm going to explain some of this, why that might be occurring. If he wanted the crowd to disperse, they had done so upon his belligerent and aggressive arrival. Yet he felt the need for an audience and to physically engage the woman to express his contempt for them, no doubt. So the police and the courts are not going to believe the testimony of Tajuana Brown, Sergeant Brett Ayres. The off-duty police officer will get to dictate the scenario, and Kayla Jackson will go to jail for criminal trespassing. Where? In the parking lot? It was 10 girls in the parking lot. If she did not commit this crime before he arrived, what the fuck is she talking about? Why her and not the others? Did she run up on someone's lawn while trying to evade his aggression? Did she attempt to stand up for herself or her friend after being attacked by this hero? On the video, he told the girls who started to leave to stay and pursued them around the corner. He tackled at least one of them as the others watched and filmed. What dispute is he investigating between the girls and a resident or within the group? Looks like this hero instigated an escalated conflict in which he validated by making an arrest for resisting arrest, which doesn't make any sense. This guy should be afraid to do something like this for fear of losing his job and being prosecuted himself. It's not for fear of the reaction or intervention of the community. It's nice to get evidence on video, but when police officers are violating and assaulting civilians, who gets to intervene? What about when Black and Latino people are being violated by police? Who gets to defend themselves or stand their ground? Is the expectation that folks simply take the abuse, the assault, or allow them to murder them? That is some straight up, right off the plantation mentality. It is exactly what slave owners expected from Blacks in captivity. Hell, they expected that in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. Guess nothing has really changed. The gathering of slaves was perceived as a threat and prohibited unless the master knew why and what they were doing. When Blacks move into white communities, it is perceived as a threat or undesirable. Till this day, the gathering of Black female descendants of slaves or oppressed people in a community where they are probably not wanted can be simply sickening to some. Somebody had to put those niggas in their place, getting a little too comfortable darkening up the white neighborhood. Did they talk back to the white person? If the slave stood up for himself, he was committed a crime, an egregious crime. How dare you defy me, your master? One who holds the power of life and death, right and wrong, in the balance. You are nothing. Your life is worthless. You, no one can or will protect you from me. I am your greatest fear and nightmare. This hero moved toward the group of young women with impunity and superiority, just like old master. You understand? That's why he's doing what he's doing. At some point, it is acceptable for police to use violence to defend themselves or apprehend a suspect. This was not one of them. This genius killed an opportunity to show the world that not all policemen are abusive, and at least he respects the law and the people he comes in contact with. This hero had no reason to chase or to put his hands on anyone. We can be sure he will make one up. Resisting arrest. That's ridiculous. He should be put in jail just for saying that. A young woman was arrested for resisting arrest and arrested as a result of a crime. He came to investigate the gathering of females. When did this crime take place? Before or after this genius arrived? Why wasn't he concerned about the safety of the group of women? Simply because he had already criminalized and dehumanized them. The so-called man is a threat to the community, black and white folk. As I said, violence begets more violence. It's just a matter of time before this delusion of power, unaccountability, and invincibility gets checked. It would be better if it is done before things get worse. There's a saying, you can get more bees with honey than you can with shit. Police need to respect, know, be familiar with, and care about the people in the community they serve. If they do not, they are no different than the gun-toting thugs in the very same community they patrol. Last thing we need is another scary guy with a gun, thug, or gang member in the community. If you support the community will support you. Personally, I'm tired of the disrespect, violence, and the disregard for life, period. Do something. So we have a problem, y'all. And, you know, I hope you guys are listening. And if any police officers out there, black or white, listening, Latino, Asian, you guys are at the forefront of this thing. Stop putting into it. Don't be afraid. Hopefully it's enough for y'all to stand up against these racist people who have contempt for the people they serve. Or not serving them. They serving the community, all right, serving them up. But come on, y'all. Typical was one dude, and he stood up. You know, I'm sure there's a bunch of y'all out there that don't agree with this. Stand up. Be counted. So you're eyewitnesses to this. As I just said, we got police officers saying this thing goes on. It's normal, and it's almost expected. It's like policy, unwritten policy. And with that being said, I want to say thanks for listening in, and everyone, please, each one, teach one, do your own research. Don't just take my word for it. Please, do your own research. Don't be led. Don't just be led. And for that, good night, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will